quorum, Tom?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, then we'll call the meeting to order. This is the April 15th meeting of the Surrey County Board of Adjustment agenda. We'll open up by saying all, let's have a roll call vote.
McGill.
McGill.
Here.
Here.
Brecky.
Brecky.
Here.
Winfrey.
Winfrey.
Here.
Here.
Schneider.
Schneider.
Here.
Here.
Neubauer.
Neubauer.
Absent.
Absent.
I wonder if the that feedback might be coming from someone on speakerphone.
Is that better?
Yes. It's gone now.
Okay. I picked up on
I know it's not.
Okay. It might be me. I'm not on speakerphone, but I'm going to mute now. Obviously, you can't hear, but I'll shut that off. I think that it might be my phone somehow.
All right. How's that?
I don't hear it now.
Okay, Stephanie, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, so now that we've had the roll call vote, we'll call, I will also ask who else may be on the line with us.
Please. I am on the line with... Hello?
Carson coming.
I am on the line.
Okay, who is this, please?
This is Liz Peel, 2017 Dayton Parkway.
Okay, thank you. Who else?
This is Carson Cummings.
And your address, please?
800 Crestview Avenue, Story City.
Okay, thank you.
And Randy Cummings. 800 okay. Crestview Avenue in Story City.
Thank you. Others?
Harold McCracken, 812 Westwood Drive, Nevada.
Thank you. Others?
Neil Grant, Jim Marek, and Scotty Gerbs, all from Martin Marietta Materials. Address is 11252 Aurora Avenue, Urbandale, Iowa.
Okay, thank you. Others? All right, if you fail to speak up, or when you do speak up, please identify yourself so that we've got it for the record. Just for your edification, due to maintaining the limited gathering decree of 10 people to help slow the spread of COVID-19, public access to the meeting is provided via the conference call to listen and participate in the meeting. Members in the public who would like to call in, you already have, dial 1-918-221-0224 and enter into the code. When prompted by the access code, we ask you that you mute your phone if possible. Audio recordings of the board meetings will be posted on our website. Okay, moving on. In front of you, board, you have a copy of the agenda. Do I hear any additions or subtractions to the agenda? If not, we'll let the agenda stand as approved. Also in front of you, board, we have the minutes from our meeting of 3:18. Do I hear any changes? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I would make a motion.
Okay, who was that?
Sorry, I would say I would make a motion. This was Randy to approve the minutes.
Okay, thank you, Randy. Do I hear a second?
Do I hear a second?
Okay. Thank you. We have a motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Also, next on the agenda, we have the approval of findings of fact for the two CUPs that we reviewed last month, CUP 0120 and findings of fact at APM 0220. Do I hear you?
Steve, this is Jerry. One of them was a conditional use permit, and the other was a administrative action on an appeal.
Okay, excuse me. The conditional use permit and the other one was a disputed action. Do I hear any changes to either one of those findings of fact? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the findings of fact of both of those items.
Randy would make a motion to approve the two findings of fact from the previous meeting.
Thank you, Randy. Do I hear a second?
Do I hear a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
This is
Kelly.
Okay, thank you, Kelly. Motion and second. All in favor? Stephanie, it may be easier if you just call out a roll call vote.
Yeah, it would be. McGill.
Aye.
Brecky.
Aye.
Winfrey.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Okay, as we're moving on into the next part, even though this is a telephonic meeting, I will also give you an idea on how we run the meeting. We'll ask for any public comments from anyone on any of the items that are not listed on the board agenda this afternoon. And we will give anyone an opportunity to speak their piece on that. If not, then we'll move on to the hearings. And at that time, then we'll hear from the staff. Then we will hear from the applicants. We may hear a rebuttal or another motion from the staff and then from the applicant, as well as public comments. And the only thing I would ask is keep your comments to 10 minutes. As we move through this, through these next CUP requests. The first one, I will ask for any public comments on anything that is not in front of the board this afternoon. Hearing none, we will move on to the hearing. The first one on it is discussion and consideration of CUP 02-90. Martin Marietta, Ames Mine Slurry Drop, and Offsite Rescue. Staff.
Hello. This is Amelia Shoneman, Staff Project Manager for the CUP request. I know you've heard this before you a couple times before, so I'm going to give a brief overview, and then I can answer any questions. And as you heard, the applicant is also on the line this evening. So CUP 02-90.6 is a minor modification to Martin Marietta's conditional use permit to allow off-site storage of rescue equipment as a trailer for the mine and an existing 40-by-60 steel utility building at 3210 North Dayton Avenue, and the addition of four slurry drops at the Ames Martin Marietta mine at 831 Riverside Road. The board heard this request at their December 18th, 2019 meeting. Initially, at that meeting, the board tabled the request and asked for testing of the slurry to determine its contents, as well as a leak protection plan for the slurry pipeline. Martin Marietta submitted the requested testing results and a pipeline leak prevention plan for the February 19th, 2020 meeting. At that meeting, the Board of Adjustment tabled the request as recommended by staff until the EPA registered or permitted the slurry drops and injection activities. The board also requested that Martin Marietta contact the Department of Natural Resources to ensure no state-issued registration and approval is required. The EPA and Martin Marietta have since provided staff with the EPA's rule authorization on the injection of slurry underground. The EPA is authorizing the activity and will require biannual testing of the slurry and an annual report with these results. The DNR does not require any further permitting. And per the EPA's rule authorization, the rule authorization stated that the activity should not result in an adverse impact to underground sources of drinking water or otherwise adversely affect the health of humans. So with the submittal of these authorizations from the EPA, staff recommends approval of the request with conditions as listed on page 7 and 8 of your memo. The conditions include that all previous conditional use permits issued to Martin Marietta, their conditions are maintained. When the use of the slurry drop ceases, the drops shall be plugged into the drive removed and the impacted area revegetated. That the conditional use permit boundary around the properties with the slurry drops expires when their use is completed from in 1 to 2 years after they are first used. So there's a timeline scheduled, so the first drop would have the CUP expire on the boundary on around the property in 2022 and so on until the last drop. CUP would expire in 2028. The last two conditions are that a zoning permit for the 40 by 60 utility building on the parcel is submitted on the parcel that's off-site be submitted to staff within 30 days of the approval, and that there's an annual inspection by the Planning and Development Department of the slurry drops. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Question 4. Any comments from Martin Marietta?
Good afternoon. This is Neil Grant from Martin Marietta. I do not have any further comments beyond the summary that Amelia has provided, other than to note that we are agreeable to the proposed conditions of approval, and I'm available should you have any questions.
Or any questions for Martin Marietta? Comments from the public? Hearing none, board, I will entertain a motion.
Brandy would move that we accept number 2, that the Story County Board of Adjustment approve the conditional use permit for the addition of slurry drops and off-site rescue equipment and trailer storage at the Martin Marietta Ames Mine as put forth in case CUP 02-90.6 as submitted with conditions as follows, which would include the 5 conditions listed.
Wendy,
have a motion to
second.
Okay, I must have missed that. Did I hear a second?
I second.
Okay, yep.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, roll call vote.
Brecky.
Brecky.
Aye.
Schneider.
Schneider.
Aye.
Aye.
McGill.
McGill.
Aye.
Aye.
Winfrey.
Winfrey.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. There you go.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to CUP 02-20, Isaac Walton Lake Shelter. Marcus.
Hello, board. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right, so I should be able to see the PowerPoint. They were sent out. I'm going to go through this. If you have any questions, obviously, I can't see your faces, so just stop me. We'll discuss whatever your questions might be. So this is going to be for CUP 02-20, Isaac Walton League. the nature of this request, I'm sorry, the applicant was Randy Cummings, and the property location is 2066 Stagecoach Road, just outside of Ames, and the property owner is the Ames Isaac Walton League. The nature of the request is the installation of a 18 by 12 shade shelter at the track and skeet ranges. The other half of this request is to bring the Isaac Walton League private gun club from a legal non-conforming use to a conforming use. So just a brief history on this. They came in to request a modification to their CUP for this 18 by 12 shade shelter. At that time, we realized that the CUP that they do have wasn't for the ranges. So part of this is to bring that from a legal non-conforming to a conforming use. The Isaac Walton League has been in its current location since 1952, and Story County adopted zoning in 1958. These private gun clubs are allowed in the A1 zoning district through a conditional use process per Chapter 90 of the Story County Land Use Development Regulations. And then the shade shelter is an accessory use to the existing private gun club. So the next few images here kind of show the vicinity, and then close, you know, kind of zooms in on the location, each picture getting closer to where this proposed structure is going to be on the property. You can see that it's just north of the easternmost Travis Ski range there. It is outside of the floodplain. And then the next set of pictures are from our site visit. First one is the proposed shelter location. They had marked off the area already and just dug the holes for the structure. Concrete or anything like that was poured in there. You can see some of the stadium lighting because in the fall they can't shoot after dark. Again, there's pictures of the proposed area with the holes already dug. That kind of goes into the rest of these pictures are for the going from that legal non-conforming to conforming use. You can see the chapter house there with its ADA marked parking. Then inside the chapter house, this is their meeting area. The next few pictures are up the indoor handgun range, which is directly below that meeting area. When the handgun range is in use, there's a barricade that blocks people from entering the upstairs area. And if there's people upstairs, the range downstairs can't be used, just as an added safety. In order to get into that downstairs range, one of the range safeties has to be there who is trained with the NRA requirements. So this section is just able to be used as pleased. Someone has to be there that can actually get in there. Now the next picture is of the groundskeeper's residence. Then the next one shows the rifle and handgun range. The rifle range is facing off to the west there, and the handgun range north into that tall berm. Next grouping of pictures shows the rifle range targets at their different distances, and then the handgun with that large berm. There are ADA parking spaces also marked here, as at the other range. Next few pictures are of the campground. There is five electrical hookups there, but they're only like rated for the 110, so they're just mainly to charge like a lantern or something like that, not for any big campers. There's a trail that runs through the park. Some more pictures of the campground. And there is a pump house there. And those two orange buildings are at the Trap and Skeet range. One houses the groundskeeper's equipment, like the lawnmower and just those things. Yeah, the other building has the clay pigeons in it for trap and ski. The next picture is like one of the existing shade shelters and then the trap and skeet shelter house. And then these last few pictures are of the archery range. With that being said, that next one is the elevation view of the proposed shade shelter. There's no proposed electrical or anything to it. It's just there to provide us protection against elements. And there's a site plan showing an aerial of the ranges and which direction they would be shooting in. And then the parking areas are the next set of images marked. Is there any questions about any of those pictures that we took?
Yeah, I guess I just had one, Marcus, one question.
Okay.
In regards to, did you say with the stadium lighting, they can shoot after dark or they cannot?
They can in the fall. Generally, they shoot up until, and it's further on, up until like about 10 o'clock at night sometimes.
Okay, okay.
Which is all standard thing for that, so.
Yeah, no, thanks, Marcus.
All right. Any other questions? If not, we'll move into the standards of approval. All right. So for compatibility, Private Gun Club is a conditional use in the A1 district. It has been in place since 1952. Hey, Randy, can you mute your phone, please? And if the proposed structure is compatible with the existing and surrounding uses, talking about that new or the proposed shade shelter, and that it would blend in with the neighboring uses, and the surrounding uses are agricultural in nature. So as the transition goes, the minimum setback requirement for the proposed structure is 50 feet. It will meet this setback. The existing structures are all listed here with their setbacks. If you have any questions, discuss those. They're all met. As far as traffic goes, there's no anticipated increase to traffic associated with this proposed structure. On average, there is 20 visitors to the club a day outside of when they have scheduled events. Those scheduled events are listed there. They're listed, their frequency, and then the anticipated number of vehicles for each time. As far as parking and loading, during the installation of this proposed shelter, parking will take place on the subject property using the existing access points of the property. No new parking is proposed. ADA parking spaces are marked at each parking area, and there is parking available at all those shooting areas, as well as the chapter house and campground. As far as signs and lighting goes, there's no new proposed signs or lighting for this proposed shelter. However, there is the existing lighting and signs for the Private Gun Club to include the entry gate sign. The park resident has a yard light, then the chapter house has exterior lights, and then the campground and the trap and skeet has those lights. They can shoot generally up until 9, not 10. My apologies. As far as environmental protection goes, the environmental impact to the site is anticipated to be limited from the proposed structure. Private Gun Club does generate noise, but not in excess of its use. The indoor range lead cleanup was just completed, and the indoor range cleanup contractor may assess the outdoor range for lead reclamation in the future. Isaac Waltman has talked to the company MT2 that cleaned up the indoor range. They're going to provide that company with measurements of the exterior berms to kind of discuss and start an evaluation process about cleaning up or retrieving the lead from those outside berms. The outside berms are maintained by the
concludes that if completed as proposed, there's a strong probability that development will be against one of these five things. As presented, we do not see that it is against any of those. So there are some, we put some of the comments here in the PowerPoint. If you look at the staff report, we asked, I believe it was 35 additional questions beyond just or the normal CUP kind of questions are about the range. If you'd like to go over any of those questions, whether they're the ones in the staff report or the ones here on this PowerPoint, we can. Hearing none at this time, we'll continue on. Conceptual review, we did not have any comments from any of the other offices. And public notices were mailed out with two property owners within a quarter mile from Route 26. When I received an email in support of the proposal, and then received a phone call asking if they're expanding the range, informed that that no use of the range was expanding at this time. Nothing was proposed. That was the caller's main concern. As far as points to consider, the applicant addressed the need for the shade shelter. Shelter will provide elemental protection for competitors and spectators. And then on the other side, the CUP will bring the private gun club from legal non-conforming use to conforming use. Traffic impact will be limited. No environmental impacts are expected. And the applicant recently hired that third party to clean up the indoor range and is working through discussing cleanup of those external range. And then because shooting ranges are viewed here in Iowa, the Planning and Zoning Commission was also required to not only recommend to Board of Adjustment, but they also had to act per State of Iowa Code 657.9. They did decide to approve of this at their April 1st meeting. There was a question at the April 1st meeting from Moss. She asked if the shooting ranges operate when the Boys and Girl Scouts are utilizing the campground. She was informed that they do still operate the shooting ranges. However, the shooting ranges all face away from the campground. And to, for that safety. And then the league charter just about the Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts pay a fee to camp there. She was informed that per the league charter, the Boy Scout, a Boy Scout troop and a Cub Scout pack can use the facilities, no charge. Anybody else has a fee that they do pay. And then Smith mentioned that the rifle and handgun ranges are generally situated below grade relative to other uses, so you have to go down a stairway or some area to access, especially the rifle and handgun ranges. So then they did approve and recommend approval to you at that meeting. And so the recommendation was that the Story County Board of Adjustment recommends approval of the conditional use permit for Isaac Walton League's proposed shelter and existing storage buildings associated with the existing gun club to include the indoor range and campground as put forth in case CUP-02-20 with conditions.
Okay, any questions for Marcus, Board?
Yeah, Randy has a question in regards to Marcus. Can you just talk a little about the two conditions?
Oh, yes. My apologies. So anything that we don't have so one of the conditions was that a permit be applied for that we don't have any zoning permits for. That's similar to what we did for the Ballard Golf Course. Kind of in the same situation where they were legal non-conforming, we were bringing in the conformance, but in the process we asked them to apply for zoning permits for the buildings that were built without zoning permits. And then the second condition is that the adjoining of the three parcels that encompass the shooting range, because right now the setbacks internally, so along internal parcel lines, wouldn't meet our requirement. So by adjoining them, then they wouldn't meet all the requirements. The assessor's office called us though after we got done with P&Z to let us know they're fine with adjoining all these. However, it couldn't happen until July, August because of how the assessment timeline works. They just basically wouldn't be able to do it until that time.
Okay, so basically if they do the second condition, it makes it much easier for you to accommodate the first condition.
Right.
Structures and setbacks, yeah, and stuff.
Correct. And the assessor, you know, there's an email chain kind of discussing all of that after P&Z. So they have already agreed to adjoining. It's just they can't do it until July, August timeline. So.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. No, thanks.
Mr. Cumming and any members of the Isaac Walton League, any comments?
No, I don't have any.
Okay. Hearing none, any comments from the public? Hearing none, I have got one question to the Isaac Walton League. Just out of curiosity, guys, how long did it take for to you to build up 2,571 pounds of bullets in your catch?
I don't know for sure. This is Randy Cummings, and I don't know. What they did tell us was that, you know, at that, the rate or what the amount that they took out, that they would only recommend doing this every 8 to 10 years. And Carol's on the line. I don't know if he knows any different or not.
Yeah, this was Carol McCracken. I don't remember the timeline, but we did a refurbishing with a new trap inside that range, and I'm going to guess. I don't remember the timeline, but it was probably 6-7 years ago where we installed some new material to collect the bullets as they're fired down in the range. So yeah, you know, I'm guessing 5, 6, 8 years. You know, when time flies, I'd like to say it was 2 years ago, but it might be 8. You know.
Yeah. So. No, that's all right. I was just curious.
Yep.
All right. Hearing no more comments from the public. Any other questions for the board? If not, I'll call for a vote or for a motion. Do I hear a motion?
Yeah, Randy Brecky would so move that we accept number two, that the Story County Board of Adjustments would approve of the conditional use permit for the Isaac Walton League proposed shelter and existing storage buildings associated with the gun club to include the indoor range and campground use as put forth in Case CUP 02-20 with conditions.
Thank you, Randy. Do I hear a second?
I'll second. This is Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly. We have a motion and second. Stephanie, roll call vote, please.
Brecky.
Aye.
Winfrey.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. Okay. Gentlemen, there you go. All right.
Thank
board,
you.
Any other issues?
Yes, thank you, everyone.
Staff? Hey. You're welcome. Staff, any other issues to come before the board?
No issues. This is Jared. I'll just give you a quick update. First of all, I just want to thank you for your patience in supporting the board's policy in response to COVID-19, in participating in this conference call, and I'm sure by now you've participated in many of these calls. All of our staff is currently are working at home, including our intern. The activity level has picked up because of spring. The Board of Supervisors on the 7th extended the telework policy to allow staff to continue working at home. The deadline was set for the 13th of April, and they extended it through the end of this month. And then recently on the 14th, the board took action to support a resolution requested by the Story County Board of Health to encourage the governor to pass a shelter in place order. The board and the board staff will continue to monitor information from the governor's office, the CDC, and the Iowa Department of Public Health to assist them with decisions that will need to be made with regard to working at home, with regard to services that are provided to the general public, and then public meetings. And for the most part, with our department, it's been a pretty smooth transition. Much of our communication with the general public before this situation was electronically, with emails being sent or through the U.S. mail. And so, like I said, it's been a pretty smooth transition for us. In terms of activity, I won't go through all of our projects, but just generally, we're working on a major subdivision plat west of the city of Gilbert, northwest of Ames. It will include about 70 single family lots, and much of the development will be will include open space with a focus of preserving the natural resources, the prairie remnants that are on this area. We're also looking at several residential parcel subdivisions. We've got an agricultural subdivision plat. Work continues on our Citizens Serve program, which is going to be a program that the general public will be able to use to download all of their information, the application from their office, from their home. It will be used by all of the departments here at the county. And very likely we'll see a opening of that possibly late spring, early summer, to include the zoning permit portion of the services that we offer, and then at a later time it will include the development case applications. So with that, I guess again I want to thank everybody for their patience as we work through this situation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Yeah, Jerry, this is Randy. I have one question in regard to how would the shelter in place affect what you're doing currently?
Well, I mean, for the most part, like I said, our staff is working from home. We're able to be, I think, pretty effective in working from home, and much of the communication is, you know, through emails that we get or through the mail. So I think it's something that we could do pretty easily.
Okay. So then, and who is recommending that?
This actually was a recommendation by the Story County Board of Health. And at Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday, they passed a resolution. So that should be on the agenda center, and that was sent to the governor's office.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Any other questions for staff? Yeah, these are trying in different times, that's for sure. I know in the banking business we're learning that on a daily basis. So if not,
right.
No more comments, I'll call the meeting to a close.
Thank you, everyone.
Be safe, everyone. Thanks.
You too.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Stephanie.
You're welcome.